ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Hi folks, it's Tegan Taylor here. I've been hitting the road for Occam's Razor for our famous live events, and there's still one left, and I would love it if you would join me as part of the audience. We're heading to Sydney this month. Head to our website to book your ticket. But now, one from our Melbourne event just a couple of weeks ago. We've heard a lot about AI this year. Ever since ChatGPT burst onto the scene, you can't walk two paces on the internet without tripping over another hot take about how it's going to end us all. Well, the world mightn't have ended yet, but generative AI is already making a mark. Luckily, we humans still have the power to shape how that will look. And one of the humans at the forefront of this effort is Rashina Hoda.
Let me start by telling you a story. It was a busy day in February earlier this year. I was in my office in the Monash campus, trying to squeeze in all these emails with one hand while trying to have a quick lunch bite with the other. So that's when I came across this email that was sent to me by a PhD student at another Australian university. And they were asking me about this paper that I had written that they had come across. Now, they sent to me the title of the paper, the author list, and the abstract of the paper. Usually, this would be a really easy reply, right? I would find the paper and just share it with them. But on that day, I had to pause. With my lunch bite mid-air and my eyes squinted at the computer screen, I tried to make sense of what was the content of that email. Sure, it is common for us researchers to sometimes get confused about, you know, which one of our papers were published in which journal or conference or which year it got published. But on that day, I was literally questioning my sanity. Did I write this paper? After a few minutes of analysis, I concluded that this is a paper I could definitely have written myself. It was a paper, in hindsight, I should have written. But I had not written that paper. ChatGPT had suggested this paper to that PhD student. Now, they had used the list of people I had previously co-authored with to make up the author list, come up with a cool title that could have been any of my papers, and a rather well-written abstract. That was my first close-up brush with ChatGPT. As many of you may know, ChatGPT is an intelligent chatbot that answers queries, explains things, and generates creative text. It was developed by OpenAI on the ChatGPT 3.5 architecture, where GPT stands for Generative Pre-trained Transformer. In essence, it's what we call a large language model that is trained on extremely large amounts of data. And the idea is that it tries to find patterns between words and phrases and uses that information to kind of make predictions about what the next word should be as it is trying to answer our queries and prompts in real time. So ChatGPT was launched in November 2022 for free use, and by January 2023, it had gained over 100 million users, becoming the fastest growing software application in history. So besides its impressive natural language processing capabilities and human-like conversational manner, it is also known to be prone to the type of confident false claims that I had experienced firsthand, which is commonly referred to as hallucination. People have played around with its capabilities, and they have discovered that it translates better than Google and Microsoft products that are similar. It can pass, and it has passed the bar exam, but it can also assist hackers to write malware and phishing emails at scale when it can be combined with other AI models. ChatGPT is an example of a new breed of AI called generative AI. Unlike the search engines that we know, like Google, which find and regurgitate existing information, generative AI focuses on creating new content that does not exist yet. Another example is DALL-E. So here you can describe something that you want to visualize, and we'll go ahead and create a high resolution image of exactly that. So we're seeing more and more companies add these magical genies into their product bottles, and we're seeing their stock prices rise with every such announcement. So despite what it may appear like, AI is not a new concept. Its recent resurgence through software like ChatGPT has led to a lot of excitement, but also some serious concerns. So on the one hand, it promises great advancement in areas like digital health and accessibility of high quality, super personalized information and education for everyone. On the other hand, AI gurus are expressing serious concerns about its unchecked growth. So Geoffrey Hinton, often referred to as one of the godfathers of AI, recently resigned from Google to raise alarm bells about the potential risk of strong AI. So that's the kind of AI that can truly think for itself. And it's not limited within the confines of what the human programmers have developed it to do. Scary enough? So what can we do? We need to come up with responsible ways of harnessing the capabilities of these super powerful systems. That's right. AI chatbots like ChatGPT are also fundamentally software systems. And software is written by people in software teams. So my job as a researcher involves studying software teams and designing human-centered software. And I like to study how software teams approach this engineering of software systems, including the AI ones that we see today. I'd like to share three examples of this work with you. First, in one of my research projects, we are listening to the practitioners who are actually developing these AI systems about what they think about the ethical aspects of doing so. So we conducted a survey of 100 AI practitioners, and we asked them about the perceptions and challenges related to AI ethics. And what we found that was most of them were aware of principles such as privacy and security, followed by reliability and safety. However, not all of them were aware of all of the principles. In fact, only about 3% of them were aware of all of the principles. In terms of the reasons why they were aware, workplace rules and policies was the number one reason of their awareness. They also reported a number of different challenges. So human-related challenges were the most commonly reported. For example, lack of knowledge and understanding of what ethical AI is, subjectivity surrounding ethics, and also the biased nature of human beings were cited as some of the biggest challenges that they're coming across. Now, while no one in their right mind will disagree that ethics is important, getting software students and industry practitioners to think about ethics is still an uphill task. Now, this is because, primarily, a lesson on responsible AI can easily turn into a boring lecture of do's and don'ts. So to inject some fun into this, we came up with an interactive ethical AI quiz that software teams can take to self-assess their level of awareness. And because ethics is hardly ever black and white, our ethical quiz will tell them the ideal, but also the less desirable responses, so they can kind of self-learn while they are taking the quiz. Second is a research project that I'm leading where we're working with colleagues from health to co-design intelligent software solutions with healthcare practitioners, patients, and carers to improve their experience of virtual telehealth. Now, this is where I've experienced firsthand how challenging it is to balance technical considerations and opportunities with ethical considerations. It's definitely easier said than done. So doing the right thing in developing responsible AI system often means that software teams need to prioritize user privacy and security over what might be technically cool and what might be technically even easier to implement. And third is this project that I'm working on with national and international collaborators, where we are reimagining what agile project management looks like. We know that the current management approaches basically focus on creating more business value. What we have done is we proposed a framework where AI techniques can be used to boost productivity and effectiveness while also balancing for things like human aspects and human values. So, for example, employee well-being and ethical considerations. So we call this combination of a human-centered heart and the AI-powered mind as augmented agile. We live in a day and age where reliance on technology is turning into dependence, where a robot called Sophia has been granted legal citizenship of a country, and where human researchers are happy to share their co-authorship rights with AI systems like ChatGPT. So we may not be in the middle of an existential crisis because of AI, but I'm going to argue that we're certainly at the verge of an identity crisis for humanity. To adapt from Charles Dickens, who had probably never imagined how his words still hold true, it is the best of times, it is the worst of times. It is the age of wisdom, it is the age of foolishness. It is the spring of hope, it is the winter of despair. So, here's my bottom line. AI is here to stay, and it's only going to get more powerful in the future. Right now, there's everything from fear, hope, and certainly plenty of hype around AI. How responsibly we as humans develop, interact, and coexist with AI will decide where this tale of two species will lead us. Thank you.
That was Associate Professor Rashina Hoda, Group Lead of Software Engineering and Deputy Director of the Humanize Lab at Monash University. Rashina was speaking there at our Occam's Razor live event at Royal Society Victoria on Wurundjeri land. I'm Tegan Taylor, your Occam's Razor host, and my robot army and I will be generating more science content for your ears right here next week.
Think bigger about the world we live in. Ask your smart speaker to play ABC RN.